Welcome to the show. Today we have Osvaldo Espino, one of the... Did I say that correctly?
Yeah, you can say that.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
One of the...
Osvaldo Espino.
One of the writers. Oz?
Yeah, you could just call him Oz. Yeah.
I'm stoked, man.
Yeah.
So Oz is one of the top writers for Miami New Times with the music section. I read your stuff every week, literally. I'm just at my job. I need some clickbait around 11 a.m. I see the email come in. So if anyone does not subscribe to Miami New Times, please go ahead and do that. It's an amazing team of beat writers. And David Rowland was on the show a couple years ago. So yeah, a lot of really cool people covering the artists, covering the different new happenings, new food, things like that. Yeah, I love to start these out with just like, kind of like biography style, like find out more about you, like your story, your journey. So where were you born?
I was born in Dallas, Texas, man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, no, I spent like 18 years of my life there. So, I grew up like very like, I guess Texan. I don't know. I for a long time I like did not want to like think I was country, but I was like low key. I am very country, especially. Oh my god, man! I miss Texas food, honestly.
So, where's your family from? Like,
they're from Mexico. So my parents are both from Mexico. You know, immigrated to the States before I was born. So when I was born in Texas with my little sister. Raised all 18 years there, did high school, all the fun stuff there. And then I moved over here in 2020 because I went to the U. And I did 4 years there, of course. I started in finance, but like, I was like, not cut out for finance. Like, I just was not feeling it. So I switched over to film and journalism very quickly, which is like a crazy thing you have to explain to your parents, like, whatever. You know, they give you the story of like, we made sacrifices.
Right. Yeah. My hands jobs are definitely the money makers.
They are. But it just wasn't for me. It wasn't my shtick. I like being creative and being allowed to like move around a lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think a lot of finance jobs are, you know, you have to wear a suit, you're kinda tight knit, you're just, you know, there's a certain protocols you just have to follow in that world. But yeah, where did the creative start? Where did like your creative aspect of you really start to shine, like when you were younger?
Dude, I'm a nerd for like everything pop culture. Like, I grew up watching a lot of TV. I played a lot of video games growing up. I'm a big fan of skateboarding. I like used to like skate in parking lots of like my friends back in Texas. It was like, I was like one of those like odd future kids growing up. So, you know, like I've always had influences like Tyler, Kanye before he went crazy. You know, a lot of like weird people I grew up. I love Pharrell, man. Pharrell is like one
he's
of
in Miami.
Yeah,
Miami
based, he's in Miami based now. I remember I met him a couple years ago for Art Basel. It's like the only time I've ever met someone like famous where I was like shaking afterwards. Cause like, I just like, in that moment, I remember I just like had like visions of all the times that I like would stay up late watching like nerd videos and like all those like documentaries about like Pharrell and like hip hop and like the 2000s and stuff like that. So like I was like a big fan of being creative, and then at the same time, I'm like being a music writer. I learned how to like start making music like when I was like a teenager, because I was like I was in like bands growing up, and I played bass and everything. And then one day I was like, let me learn how to songwrite. I want to learn how to songwrite. It's cool. And that's kind of how I got into writing. It was like through songwriting. And then from there, I was like, you know what? I think I could write a movie. And so then I like taught myself how to write screenplays off of just like reading them online and stuff. And so I like picked that up like very young, and I was like, it's things that I did not think I was, like, as dedicated to until, like, I, like, reflected much later in life, you know, because I, like, growing up, I went to, like, a lot of, like, magnet schools and stuff like that, so it's just, like, it was, like, very career-based stuff, like, my high school was, like, had, like, a business program and stuff like that, and that's how I ended up going to, like, business school in Miami at first, but then I, like, reflecting on all that, I realized, you know what, I like more creative stuff, I like being able to just, like, do weird stuff and like just talk to like people who like want to do something that is different from the norms, you know. Like, I think coming here and like experiencing things like Art Basel and all that, like, I was just like, yo, there's, like, so much more in the world than I realized, you know? There's a lot of cool stuff out here.
Yeah, so Art Basel-wise, I did see your article for the Art Basel. That was, I'm sure, like, that was, like, mic drop. Years later, it was just kind of like, I mean, you have to go to a lot of cool stuff. Like, so people were probably jealous. Did that bring out jealousy in any of your friends?
Like, my friends think I live, like, the craziest life of all time. Like, they think that, like, I don't have a job. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, they, but, because I also kind of don't treat it like a job. Like, it, to me, I just like to, you know that lyric in that Beastie Boys song where he's like, a job ain't a job, it's a damn good times, you know? And that's how I try to treat, like, everything that I do in my life, you know? Like I just love to have these cool, fun experiences. The Art Basel piece was, like, very popular. I did get a lot of, like, people sending it to me, like, so what do you do for work exactly? And I'm just like, I'm a Miami-based writer, you know, who loves to experience things and events and meet, you know, some of my favorite musicians and DJs and stuff. It was a very fun piece to write, honestly. And Art Basel Week is so crazy, like, so much is going on at the same time. Like, I remember at one point I wrote that I hitchhiked on a boat to make it to, like, a DJ set at Delilah because I was, like, running behind on time. And that was just, like, when I wrote that, I was like, that's kind of crazy. I don't think about things that I'm doing in the moment. I just, like, doing it.
What kind of boat was it? Like, a ferry or, like, some dude just had a yacht and you got
some dude just had, like, a speedboat. And then Yeah. And I just, like, paid him, like, $20. I was like, yo, can you just drive me across real quick? He was like, sure, why not? And I explained the situation to him real quick. It was crazy. Very interesting times. But it's just, like, part of what I love to do, you know, is just, like, experience Miami to the fullest because I have, like, the privilege to do so, you know, and I love writing pieces like that because it's just, like, fun and chaotic, honestly, and that's, like, I think that's, like, a lot of what Miami is if you think about it. It's, like...
Well, there's no art without a little bit of chaos, you know, a little bit of getting dirty and, you know, being vulnerable. I mean, that's... Miami will help you do that. A lot of opportunities to do that. So, like, are you full time with the writing and being creative, or do you have, like, other stuff?
I am also, like, a tour manager for a DJ right now. So, oh, really? Like, I do both at the same time. You know, like, I write when and where I can, and then I'm also, like, managing a whole DJ at the same time. So I'm, like, running around, like, the city, and then sometimes there'll be weekends where I have to, like, fly to New York or fly here, da 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 da. You know, so. I try to write as much as I can when I can. Like, right now, I'm, like, kind of, like, fully focused on Miami Music Week because it's, right, like, coming up. It's huge. Lots of big names, you know. John Summit's, like, doing his set, and then he's doing a back-to-back at Ultra. And then there's Sarah Landry, who I just interviewed. Hugo, who was, like, one of the homies. I love him. Death just did a piece on him. Lots of crazy sets and stuff. I'm trying to think about what was embargoed and what can I stay on camera right now, what can I not, you know? But, like, there's a lot of fun stuff that
you're not allowed to share.
Yeah, no, like, it's so funny. Sometimes I will talk to an artist and then they'll be like, yeah, I have, like, an album coming out soon, I have this song with this person coming out, and then, like, right after the interview, they'll be like their managers or, like, their publicists will be like, oh my god, that went so well. But by the way, do not mention this.
Yeah, that's why getting some of the top people to pod is tough sometimes. Mm-hmm. You share a lot on a podcast, but, like, you kind of, like, you know, you have to, like, yeah, be honest and just open book, which is, I obviously like to put you in a good position, like, you know, put you in a good light as well. But yeah, your job is more like you'll have the Zoom interviews and then you'll write, you know, the story, but everyone will screen it first, right? It'll be, like, a lot of people deciding what's allowed.
What the guidelines with the New Times is, like, we're not allowed to share what we're going to write with, like, the publicists and stuff. But that's why I talked to publicists before. I'm like, what can I not mention? Because, like, I don't want to, like, ever put us in, like, a situation where it was like, you were supposed to reveal that or something, you know? And then, like, I just never want to get in trouble with, like, any of, like... Because I'm good friends with, like, a lot of people in the industry, you know? It's just, like, I never want to, like, put anyone in a sticky situation. So I try my best to like avoid any like big reveals unless like I'm allowed to say them, you know.
It's gonna be upfront about things, you know. Yeah. And well, yeah, your job. So obviously, like you're being so tuned into the music scene, you kind of got into managing the like touring. I have a friend that does that too, mm-hmm. like manages like an agency for DJ and stuff mm-hmm. like that. How did you get into doing that?
This is the funniest story ever. So this goes back to Art Basel. So that whole piece, at some point I write about like, oh yeah, I went to this Martinez Brothers set, right? So what is it? I met the day-to-day manager for the DJ Hard Valencia. And I met him backstage while we were like about to go on stage with the Martinez Brothers. And we were just talking and he was like telling me about this project that he was really into. And I was like, yo, like I would love to help in any shape, form or capacity, you know, having like wanting to expand into like, you know, a different field and try something new, you know, and having seen how a lot of the stuff plays behind the scenes, I like was able to like quickly grasp a lot of it. You know, I've seen like how to write all these different emails, how to make invoices, how to do this, how to do that, just because I will hang out with like these artists and their teams and I will just like pay attention and be like, oh, so that's how blah 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 happens, or that's how you set up a show here, that's how you set up a show there, you know. And you know, it's like everything that I picked up just being behind the scenes, I like learned how to utilize with like my artists now, and it's been good so far. We got a couple of gigs, you know, coming up soon.
Are you allowed to share who it is, or is that like?
Yeah, it's Harvey Valencia. He's like he's the biggest like tech house DJ in Colombia right now, and he's killing it right now. We got some shows coming all over the U.S. Got some stuff coming out in all over Europe over the summer, of course. So we'd be excited for all that. I just like want to help, you know, build this project and do the best that we can with it, because like Harvey's a really talented kid, man, and he's killing it, honestly. And it's just like about bringing the right people to work with him, because he has been establishing himself by himself, you know. He did everything himself so far, but now it's like teaching him like not only that like you don't need to worry about everything, but also like, hey, we are your resources. Like, please utilize this as best you can so that we can like, you know, help you at the end of the day, you know, cause he's a massive talent, man. He's had a lot of good friends in the industry too. So like, and I'm excited for all this stuff, man.
No, it's amazing. And that's like a huge industry. I mean, it's a huge role to play, you know, allow these artists to go to the next level by taking, you know, helping them outsource things, or even just have you join in the creative vision for like, you know, different big stretches of their life, you know, like traveling and touring is it's complicated, man. That's really fulfilling. Obviously writing is also a big part of what you do for Miami. So when it comes to Miami, are there any like artists that you've noticed recently that are maybe kind of the next big stars, or like kind of underrated or not known about?
I just wrote a piece on Chase West because I have been hearing his name just buzzing around the city for like so long. So he's this rising like house guy from, he's originally from Tampa, but he's like moved over here. He's like South Florida based basically, and I've been hearing his name for like a year straight now. And then one day I just like DM'd him and I was like, hey, I would love to interview you, like, I guess, can we do something? He was like, yeah. And then we talked, we sat down, he invited me over to his crib, and we like chopped it up, and it was so cool just to like talk to him. And he's also blurting out like other names that are rising right now, like Ben Sterling is another one popping in Miami right now, Beltran, you know, of course Michael Beebe and Paso have been like established now, but like those are also like names that whenever they come down to Miami, they like sell out, dude. Like those guys are crazy right now. And I think the house music movement in Miami right now is just so dope to see. There's a lot of stars that are flourishing. I want to shout out like a lot of like the underground ones. There's a lot of good female DJs right now. Bozito is the one that comes off to mind. Marte, she's cool. Baraka, who just played a set last night at the Ground, she's really dope. There's a lot of like great, oh my gosh, shout out Pressure Point too, who's killing it. Like, there's a lot of great like Miami-based acts right now that are like really killing it and putting it out for the city right now. So, you know, just to like watch this happen in real time has been like such like a fun little privilege to do. You know what I mean? And it's like I really hope that it just continues going like this. Like, I always joke that I'm like at Space every weekend because I go so often, but it's because there's just a lot of like high quality acts, you know, that who show up on the terrace or on the ground or right next door at Floyd. You know, I think Miami as a whole has like established this like scene for electronic music that just continues to flourish and shows like some of the biggest up and coming stars. You know, like John Summit is about to like, is like the king of like house music right now. Like, love him or hate him, you know what I mean? But he was like someone who was like playing Space like every other weekend, you know what I mean? Like making his name right here, you know? And now it's kind of crazy to think like you could like create such a fan base, like starting in a city like here, and then like become like such a global name in like a matter of years, you know?
Yeah, well, we are known for our club industry and our house music. So what better place? I mean, you can go to Vegas, but like you just have so many people with residencies at Vegas that, you know, so many. I think we're a little bit less touristy than Vegas.
I 100% agree. You know, I think like Miami is becoming is a whole different machine when it comes to like clubbing and partying. Because like when I was growing up, I always thought Miami was like this magical place, you know, where people go to South Beach and it's like crazy, you know. But when I got here, it was like, yeah, no, it seems like Wynwood is the spot where it's popping right now. Like, well, South Beach is kind of dying, you know. It's like, aside from like, at the time, Story was still open. So it was like Story and Live. And then there was a couple more spots. There was that one joint, what is it, Treehouse? Treehouse was popping. Yeah. But, you know, it's so interesting watching, like, the Miami I grew up, like, wanting to go visit all the time is kind of, like, not there anymore. Because, like, it was like that Will Smith song, you know, like, Party in the City and the Heat is on. That's, like, what I had envisioned for a long time. But then it's, like, kind of moved more inland now to, like, all the clubs and all the places that are popping are, like, in Brickell, downtown, Wynwood, Little Haiti's getting some spots now. Like, Zay Zay's up there. It's a really fun spot, by the way. And it's, like, so interesting just watching how the city is developing as a whole, you know? I feel like the party scene is, like, moved more inland and it's, like, more focused on a lot more, like, electronic acts more than anything. I would give them that.
Yeah, I think I read about how Space, when it first started, had to, like, convince people to come across the causeway, yeah, and, like, yeah, away from the beach, and, like, you had to convince people to do that, you know? But, like, that was that area there. You know, they gave out a 24-hour liquor license or something, and then suddenly, boom, Space.
Yeah, no.
So it was smart because, like, that area there is still, you know, it's got a U-Haul. It's, like, it's a little weird, like, but it's, like, it's good for what Space. It's good for Space, that district, that couple streets over there. It's, like, perfect for what Space, you know, it's where Space needs to be. But that's, like, yeah, Miami's shifted so much. I mean, I've read some good books about how it used to be. But, yeah, these days, Miami's just, like, growing so much that, I don't know, what do you think are some underrated venues that, besides, I mean, Zay Zay is great, but like stuff like that maybe people haven't heard of, like venues that have impressed you lately?
Oh my God, man. I'm trying to think, because I get this question asked a lot, and then what's so annoying about Miami is like places will open up and then they'll close like very fast. So, dude, Domicile hasn't reopened yet, but when they reopen, I know it's going to be a fire. I miss them. Shout out Domicile. They're a really cool, fun little place to go to. I mean, it's not really, like, underrated, but I think Gramps kind of deserves a little more, like, in terms of, like, its flowers. I think Gramps is, like, always a solid venue to go and find, like, you know, more low-key acts. They recently opened, like, the band show again. I love going and watching shows over there just because I like the open atmosphere. I'm trying to also think. Oh, Savage Labs. Savage Labs will have like a lot of like good up and coming stars up there, and there's some really good apps. Especially like if you like Latin music, there are a lot of Latin acts tend to like slide through there and start playing. And what is it? Sometimes my homie, he's a rapper over here, Tay Charles. He does like open mics at his little venue over there, and they do really cool stuff. So there's a lot of places to go and look for music, honestly, man. It's just like, it depends on what your vibe is and what you're going for in the night, you know? Especially like if you want live music, if you want like more like electronic music, if you just want to like a clubbing vibe, if you want, you know, there's like a lot of different choices, man. So I think this is a really cool time. Yo, also, actually, real quick, too, shout out to Teasing Poets. It's all the way down in Coral Gables. As someone who like not grew up, but like spent a lot of time in like the UM area, there's a lot of like open mics and stuff. A lot of people will pop out and play at that spot.
What's it called again?
Teasing Poets.
Teasing Poets?
Yeah. It's like it's in the old Sunset place. Like that old decaying mall that they're like about to tear down and turn into apartments because it's happening with a lot of Miami.
I think open mics are key to any city having like opportunities for new acts. So like, do you think, are there any like open mics that, I guess, would you say Miami on a scale of 1 to 10, like how well are they attended? Like, is there a good scene for, because obviously LA is probably really good for that too, right? New York's good, but like for like a young artist to have a chance to get seen or heard, like I guess on a scale of 1 to 10, how good are we with like having open mics?
It depends on like, I guess, like what the vibe is. I literally just named like Teasing Poets and stuff like that. But most open mics that I know, surprisingly, are stuff for like comedy. Like Miami has a very underrated comedy scene right now. I know like a lot of open mics for that. And so that's like kind of like when you say open mic, that's kind of like where my mind goes to the first.
Yeah, it's like, that's like usually what it's for. But sometimes they do it open format. But mm-hmm. Yeah, typically there's a good comedy scene. Manny Get Shop, Manny Garavito, Miami Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good scene for that. So you cover, for the Miami Times, you cover pretty much exclusively music, right? So, but rap, within that, it's not just EDM, right? Mm-hmm. So you do cover like...
Oh yeah, other Latin, hip hop. Honestly, I don't want to get like pigeonholed into one genre. It's just like, what is like, I try to focus on like what events are coming through and what's like, for example, when it's like Rolling Loud season, I like focus on hip hop. Whenever it's like Miami Music Week, I'm about to churn out like 5 interviews with like DJs and stuff, you know, I'm about to give you the craziest rollout. Or like when 3 Points is around, it's like, yeah, I get to like do everything now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to just like be in one genre. Is like, I think that's something that I've always wanted to like, you know, like clarify. Is I've always wanted, like, I literally was having a conversation the other day with one of my publicist friends. I was like, dude, I want to do more rock acts. Like, I want to do like more Indian rock stuff, because like I feel like I have been doing like so much like especially electronic music right now. Like, just because like, you know, we're having like Miami Music Week and Ultra and all that, you know. But I'm like, I want to do like more rock stuff, and then I want to like really delve into the hip hop scene. Like, whenever I do like my hip hop stories, I especially when it comes with like the local acts, I try to like hang out with them for like the whole day and just see like how they experience Miami, because I think that's something so important, is like the different viewpoints that you have like from living in the same city, you know, like especially with a lot of the hip hop acts, because that. They're storytellers at the end of the day. Hip-hop is about storytelling and, you know, delivering a message in some shape or form, you know? So I love spending a day with those guys. Like, shout out Lil Kid, shout out K Charles, and a lot of the hip-hop acts that I put on my list for to watch this year, I'm planning on making stories with them and doing stuff with them soon. So hopefully we'll get that done ASAP.
Yeah, so you get to hang out with these cool people. You ever had any like days or interviews that had like crazy stories or like went off the rails or something? Something happened.
God, let me think about these. I've never had anything like too crazy. Like I haven't experienced like a crash hat or something like that. Like I've always like I always usually go to like a dinner or a spot or something with them, and it's always chill vibes, you know. Like when I did the Hugo piece, that one started back in December, because we met up at Delilah to eat real quick, and then he had played a set there, and then he like took me to Factory Town because he has a clothing brand, and they had a pop-up in Factory Town, and then I was like, oh, it was really cool. And then I was like the first half of the piece, and then we like reconnected again over Zoom, we talked more, you know. And so that's usually how like a lot of my interviews go, is like we like, if I have the opportunity to meet them and hang out with them and really pick up a vibe, like that's how I like to do them. I really don't like doing like phone call interviews, and I really hate like an email interview where they'll be like, oh, can you just send answers and questions and stuff, and I'm like, I guess, like
I that's why you're over here, man. You're not on Zoom with me right now.
Yeah, no,
it's
like,
really fun, you know.
It's like I like picking up a vibe, you know, and just seeing like how people like really are behind the scenes, you know? Like, some, you could tell, like, when some artists have, like, a facade that they're trying to carry, and then when you could tell when some are, like, very genuine and very cool. And so that's why I try to do as many of them, like, in person, or, like, where I can, like, or also I will have, like, I will like, message, like, my publicist friends and stuff like that. I was like, hey, if you ever have an artist and there's a chance that I can meet them before I have to interview them, and, like, just, like, meet them in a natural setting and, like, talk to them, like, that's, like, my favorite. Because then by the time that we meet up again, it's not like, oh, hi, I just met you, now I'm about to ask you, like, a bunch of questions. Like, no, hey, bro. It's like a good vibe. Exactly. You know what I mean? So we know each other, and then we, like, link up. And so everything is much more natural and runs more fluid, you know? I know how busy an artist's schedule is now. So, like, I understand you can't always do that. But when we have the opportunity to do so, I love it. And I get very excited about it.
I'm with you, man. Actually, I share that because a lot of, like, probably 80% of my podcast interviews, like, I knew the person before, talked to them. Mm-hmm. I do a very similar. You study the artists. I kind of study a lot of the, like, leaders of Miami, mm-hmm. Community leaders, things like that. But yeah, it's always special to, you know, any relationship has touch points, you know, like building trust, you know, here or there. You see them for, you know, say hello at the show, and then suddenly, you know, you're actually asking them to interview them. And then, do you have a way, are you really just genuine? You're like, hey, I would love to interview you. You just keep it simple, right? You're like, do you have anything special about how you build that rapport with artists?
Honestly, man, it depends on the artist and the situation. Like, I think a good example would be when I interviewed Danny Lux, because I hadn't, so with Mexican background, I hadn't known about him for a while. And I followed his music and his stuff. And so then one day, like, one of his managers hits me up. He's like, hey, we have Danny in town. He's going to be at the studio. Would you like to, like, link up with him? And I'm like, yeah, of course, you know. And it was, like, really cool because, like, I got to sit down with him. And just, like, he, like, showed me some tracks that he's, like, doing, you know. We talked about, like, music that he usually doesn't get asked about. Like, he told me, he's like, yeah, I love Deftones, like, and, you know, and all this stuff. And it was, like, really, it's really cool whenever I have those experiences where, like, I can just see you, like, in these very natural settings. And it was a vibe, man. So, yeah, I always, like, try to just build moments like that.
Yeah, I think it's being respectful. And they can tell, you know, how much respect you have for them and the way you treat people. So just carrying that forward. And, you know, you build a reputation for yourself as well of, like, you know, how you treat people. So I guess you definitely, when you're someone like our position, we're actually kind of like colleagues in this, that we study great people, right?
Yeah.
And we try to, like, you know, just, like, capture just a bit of what makes them awesome and, like, share that with others. So you, I guess, let's, for everyone to know, like, are you someone regular? Is, like, do you do, like, one piece a week, or, like, how often are you contributing content?
Oh my god, dude. So there'd be weeks where I do, like, maybe, like, two pieces, and then there'll be weeks, like, this past one where I'm, like, doing, like, oh, I'm doing a listicle right here, and then every day it's, like, interview, because, like, you know, it's, like, Miami Music Week and stuff like that, so I gotta drop something. Like, it's not even that I have to drop something every day, it's just that whenever, like, festival seasons or big weeks come up, I love to just book as many people as I can, just in case, like, because let's say I'll hit up someone and I'll be like, hey, can I get Zed? Can I get da-da-da? Can I get him? Can I get Leso? Da-da-da-da? And they'll usually be like, yeah, you know, to all of that. And then they'll be like, okay, here's my deadline. And then what happens a lot is, like, I'll ask for artists, like, 2-3 weeks in advance. And then the interview will be done, like, a week before deadline, and they, like, will all stack up, and then I'm just, like, having to write through all of them. Like,
but you create these deadlines, like, yourself. Like, it's your editor?
Or my editor. Publisher. My editor, yeah.
It's smart. At least you have those deadlines. That's what seems like, that's creating a lot of the action. It's like the deadline.
It does, you know, and then a lot of, like, but I set up so many because a lot of times, like, I'll, like, have, like, 10 artists I want to get, but I'll probably get only 7 of them because, like, 3 of them will fall out or something like that, or, you know, we can't make it in time or something, you know. It's like, there's always something, you know, and it's like, it's just the way that, like, the industry shifts and moves a lot, you know. But yeah
man, look, I'm aware as well, like, sometimes You gotta book as many people because not everyone shows up. Sometimes stuff happens. You know, it's a special thing that occurs when someone opens up. Like, to me, it's like someone's like opening up like a flower, you know, like trying to get them to open up and share. And like a lot of things can distract people or come up in life where people, especially who we interview, are very busy and like, you know, they've got a lot going on. So that's why you have to be not like too hurt when like stuff doesn't end up happening, but have enough eggs in your basket, you know what I mean? So I think that just comes from having a wide enough perspective and, you know, having enough stuff going on so that you don't feel all hurt or anything. But yeah, man, because we get excited to interview people, but we don't want to get too excited, right? Because, you know, you want to keep your composure and until they're, actually the special moment is when they're on the seat next to you or when you're really hanging out, you're like, all right, we got here.
Yeah.
And like, let's really absorb this whole moment and, you know, make it a beautiful thing that can entertain others. So do you have favorite fans of your writing? I mean, I'm actually a fan of your writing. I didn't even I read your stuff every week. I read your stuff. So like, do you have any like crazy moments? Are you like a celebrity in Miami? Like low key, people are like, yo, Osvaldo. People don't really know your face very well, but I think there's random people who read you that you'd be surprised. You know, like,
I never know until like I tell people, I'm like, yeah, I write for the Miami New Times, and they'd be like, oh, you're that guy. You're like, oh, or like a lot of times, like it's always people in the industry who will like be like, who like will grab me literally, like I'll be at like a party for like, you know, for like the Grammy week or whatever, and people will left and right grab me and be like, oh my God, yes, I saw your piece on yada yada, and I'll be like, and I'll be like, oh, wow, like, this is crazy. Like, it's always, like, to me, it, like, never, like, registers in my head that, like, people read my stuff. Like, to me, it's just, like, it's just, like, a hobby that I just happen to get paid for is how I think about, like, this, like, job, you know? It's, like, this, like, it's just so fun to me, and I'm, like, I don't know if people read this stuff, but if they do, I hope they enjoy it, you know? And then people will randomly come up to me and be like, oh my God, I read your piece on da-da-da-da, and or like, I read your Art Basel piece, and I'm like, what? Like, this is crazy. Like, thank you for, like, enjoying it, you know? It feels like how, like, when artists, like, drop music, I guess, like, and they always talk about in the beginning, they'll be like, oh, like, you know, people used to come up to me and be like, I heard your stuff, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know people listened to my stuff. That's kind of how I feel about my writing sometimes. I was like, oh, thank you for reading it. I'm like, this is crazy. I did not know. But, or it's crazier for like me whenever like the artists will like repost their like my story like on their Instagram or on social media and stuff. Like, to me, that's always like, wow, you read the stuff I wrote about you. This is dope, you know? And it's like, it's just so surreal to me at times, just because like I'm like so young and compared to like a lot of the other writers at times, and it's like kind of crazy having like been on the other side of the fence for so long as a fan, and then when you cross over and then you get to meet some of like your favorite artists, it's like so crazy. And then they'll like be like, oh, thank you for writing, it was like so dope, and thank you for the interview and stuff like that. Or they'll send you like a gift pack afterward, be like, oh my God, thank you, it was like, here's a vinyl of my album, hope you enjoyed it. And I was like, yes, I did enjoy it, thank you. It's stuff like that's like weird and it's crazy and stuff, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, look, you worked hard. You're talented to get where you're at. I mean, was there any sort of like interview process to like do what you do? Do you feel like you crushed it? You had a certain like, you had a portfolio that was really awesome. Like, do you feel like there's certain moments that helped you kind of get to this position? Like certain key pieces?
So I started writing at first at the Miami Hurricane, which is like the local paper at UM. I want to give a big shout out to Caroline Battle because she's someone who was instrumental to my writing career, like my whole writing career, honestly. So Caroline is also like graduated with me at school, but she was the one. I remember telling her, I was like, I used to write letterbox reviews about movies and stuff, right? And I was like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I need to find a way where I could do this and get paid for it, you know? And so then I used to like tell Caroline about this. She was like, why don't you just write for the New Times and like, you know, have it like, it'll be like an online thing, you know, because we were doing like, we do like album reviews and movie reviews and stuff like that, you know. And so I was like, oh my God, sure, why not. And so then it was right around the time that like the Billboard Latin Music Week was happening, you know, it happens every year, and I'm a big Peso Pluma fan, you know, just like I'm a big fan of Latin music as a whole, but at the time I'm like, I'm like enamored by his new album and stuff, and I'm like, I need to go. And so my first assignment was to go to Latin Music Week and like write about it. And so I wrote about the rise of Mexican music is because in like mainstream culture, you know, just because I was like really a big like supporter of like what was what is still happening, you know, with like regional Mexican music and what's like how big it's gotten to the point. I mean, like Bessel just sub-headlined like Coachella last year. He was the first Mexican headliner for Rolling Loud last night, you know. And it's stuff like that that I love, like, writing about and just, like, writing about how, why it's important for not only, like, my culture, but the culture as a whole and just how big music and music influences one another. Because he's someone who's, like, so clearly, like, inspired by hip-hop acts. And now it's just seeing him, like, on stage at a hip-hop festival is, like, so crazy, you know? But I talk about all that because when I wrote that piece, I was just so proud of it. I was like, I don't care if anyone doesn't read this. Like, this is just something, like, so dope, you know? And I kept on writing pieces for Hurricane Music to do different album reviews, stuff like that, you know? And so eventually Caroline, who had been writing for Jose, the music editor at New Times, told me, like, yo, you need to write for the New Times. Here's, like, Jose's information. Just hit him up. And so my first assignment for Jose was to do a concert review for Travis Scott because someone else didn't want to do it. And he knew that I loved hip hop stuff. So it was like, it was the first piece I wrote. And then very quickly, it like just kept like snowballing. It was like, here's one piece. And now I'm writing two piece, three piece, four piece, five piece. And it just like kept going on and on and on. And now I'm like one of like the dedicated writers of the music section here. So, you know, that's kind of how it all began, you know, but like as like I've continued to like write and do pieces and meet different people in the industry, you know, I've tried to be as open-minded as you can about like what you can and cannot write about, you know, like yeah, I mentioned earlier, I just like didn't want to be pigeonholed into like one genre. I tried to like be as open as I can to everything because I love all music. You know, there's not one genre in specific that I listen to every day. Like, right, like this morning I was like listening to the new Playboi Carti album, and then right after that I was listening to Megan Maroney, and then right after that I was like, you know what, I need to listen to a Beltran set to get ready for Miami Music Week. You know, that's kind of how my mind works and how I want my writing to work as well. You know, I want it to be everywhere. I don't want it to just be like, oh, this is Oz, the electronic music writer or the hip hop writer. No, I want to be the writer for like all music because I love all music. There's like not one genre that I dislike, you know? Like a lot of people be like, I hate country, you know? And I'm like, why? There's so many great writers in country right now. So many like amazing acts coming out right now, especially like right now in this moment in time, you know? And I'm like, why would you like not want to like listen to great music and enjoy it, you know? At the end of the day, I love music. That's why I do this, you know? It's like, music has changed my life in so many ways, and it's just opened my mind to, like, so many new ideas and emotions, and I just want to, like, always be a part of it in some shape or form.
There's something about writers that hate to be boxed in. Like, writers are always, like, those free spirits that have to, like, you know, stand up to people and, like, rah, don't box me in, this, that. You're like, trying to keep your options as open as possible. Like, mm-hmm. You're like, do you actually have any, because you talk about music, but like obviously as a writer, mm-hmm. You possess a certain vocabulary, right? Mm-hmm. To kind of like, you know, describe what you're experiencing and vocabulary is actually, you know, they find studies like your vocabulary plays a big part in actually your enjoyment of something, or even when you're talking about an experience or the way you describe it has a big impact on like your actual enjoyment. So do you have any crazy book? Is there anything like kind of crazy that you actually read that kind of fuels your vocabulary?
Dude,
you know, do you actually read at all?
Yeah,
books like
no
fiction, like that.
I read like a lot. It's just like so annoying to admit out loud, but I read a lot of other people's articles like in the industry. Yeah. You know, like I'd be on like on Red Mezcla a lot, bro. When I found Delos, which is like the little Latin section of like Los Angeles Times, I fell in love and I like try to keep up with those stories because it's like very it's like very like Gen Z millennial orientated writing for like Latinos, and I love that. I eat that shit up. Can I cuss?
Dude, yeah, we'll make it explicit, man. It seems like that's like the norm, but like it's all good, bro.
Oh, No.
It's like all I'm making them all. It's not. At the end of the day, it's not. That's you barely even cuss, but yeah, go whatever you're saying.
Yeah, it's like I love that stuff, man. I gravitate towards like a lot of like other journalists and writers. Susie Esposito, she's like killing it right now. She's the editor right now, I think, of Delos. Thomas at Rolling Stone. He does a lot of like Latin and pop stuff over there. You know, those are some writers that I love reading. And like, whenever I reflect on my own writing, and like, whenever I like want to like do something like really dope and killer, it's kind of like how musicians like go look at other musicians' work to get inspiration. That's kind of how I am. I like look at their writing a lot to like, you know, fuel my vocabulary or like change the way that I write about artists sometimes. Because I another thing too, like I talk about, I don't want to get boxed on digital. I also don't want to like be too repetitive in like the structure of like my articles and stuff. Sometimes I try to start off with like the craziest quote I can, and or sometimes I have like a very like funny intro, you know. And just depending on who I'm writing about and how much I have to work with, especially with like stuff like quotes, like I'll try to change up the format as much as I can, you know. Like if I have a very funny interview, I will try to have like the funniest quote started off, just to like, you know, bring the viewers in.
You gotta hook them,
you know.
Exactly.
I really hate it whenever sometimes I'll turn in an article and then I will reread it and I'm like, I'm too informational in the beginning. This is so boring and fun. I need to rewrite this, you know. Like, I'm my own biggest critic, 100%.
You have to be willing to edit to be great in writing.
Yeah, 1,000%. Yeah.
So there's no like, it's not. You're not how do you say? You're not perfect. And do you ever? I guess do you have an editing process that's unique, or do you just leverage a lot of friends?
Dude, I do this thing where I will start off writing, you know, I start the article off and then like I'll go like on a run or something, you know, or I go walk or I go do something, and while I'm doing it I think about the article, and usually like randomly I'll have like a eureka moment, like a walk or my run, where I'll like run back and I'll be like, I need to edit this right now. Or I write a lot of my stuff on docs, like Google Docs. And I, like, will edit from my phone immediately. I'll be like, I need to change this part right here. It just hit me. This does not work. And, like, my editing process is, like, kind of just, like, write, take a break from it, and then, like, come back to me, like, once, like, I figure it out, you know? And it's kind of, like, how I do that right now. I don't know if I'll ever switch it up, but for now, it's kind of, like, the move.
I think it's in line with science. Yeah, they say, like, you know, when you're doing laundry, you may have some creative insight from whatever you took a break from. But because you've observed a lot of artists. Mm-hmm. Have you taken any tricks of, like, how to be more creative? Say the average person listening, like, has a 9-to-5, mm-hmm. and they're wondering, they're like, oh, well, like, I'm kind of struggling to, like, find my creative side. I guess, have you picked up any secrets from studying artists that like helps them like open their creative side?
Dude, it's so weird because a lot of the times when I'm like with artists, they're like very much like in their own world in a sense, you know what I mean? So it's not like so much like picking up their creative, they're like in the zone by the time like I reach them, you know what I mean? Especially with like studio sessions and stuff like that, they're already like in their own like world. But what I picked up is like a lot of artists love to collaborate a lot more than you think, and they shoot and like give each other advice all the time. So I think for me, it's like I like to go to like my fellow writers every now and then, and like, you know, I like to ask for a lot of opinions, honestly, you know. I got, especially from people who like know how to write and people who don't know how to write. So like I'll be like, hey, I'll text with my friends randomly, like, what do you think about this random little intro to this thing that I'm writing right now, you know? And it'll be like blah 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 blah, and so I'll send it to like someone who like doesn't know how to like write or like isn't used to it, and then I'll send it to someone who's like super experienced, and then I usually take both of what they say and like kind of mesh it in together. And that's like the kind of how I open up my creative process. I'm like a very collaborative spirit.
Nice. So you get some opinions from people who are biased a bit, mm-hmm. and people who are unbiased completely.
1,000%. Like,
that's probably a better judge sometimes, you know. So yeah, man. All right. So in Miami, so we study Miami as well. Local voices, local leaders. Are there any characters, artists, especially who are Miami homegrown, who are like, you know, would be open to like sharing their story? Anyone come to mind? Just a few people.
Yo, I knew I love who's Miami as heck. What is his name? Billy Corbin? I don't know.
Yeah, actually, he's been recommended as well before by the zoo director, media director, Ron McGill. He said, yeah, the Cocaine Cowboys.
Yeah, dude. Billy is just hilarious. Like, he will go to, like, those, like, city hall meetings and, like, low-key harass some of, like, the prosecutors and stuff. Or, like, you know, some people who are kind of annoying and trying to sell Miami and stuff. Like, he's awesome, bro. I love that guy. I love seeing him. He, like, exposes everyone corrupt. He calls everyone out on their BS. And I, like, have such an admiration for him. I watched, like, his documentary on The U. That was, like, my first exposure to him. And I keep watching everything he comes out with, all the Cocaine Cowboy stuff. And he did another one, like, a documentary for Hulu about some scandal at the Fountain Blue. I haven't gotten to that. But I love, like, his content. I, like, when I was, like, still, like, hardcore focusing on, like film, I, like, wanted to intern with him so bad if he had, like, a position. But I never reached him. But maybe eventually we'll work on something. I would love to talk to Billy, man. He seems like a fun time.
Nice. And then, obviously, the electronic scene is growing. People come here. But, like, who do you think loves Miami the most out of, like, all the DJs? A lot of people will go to Vegas, they'll go everywhere. Like, John Summit's traveling so much. Like who actually loves Miami the most?
Are we talking, like, big name?
Yeah, like, big name DJs.
Big name DJs? Dude, I would say... Wow, this is a hard question, low-key. I'm trying to think, really, of who would be, like, a good answer. Because I don't want anyone to, like... I don't want to name someone... And then someone be like, no, they're not Miami, not blah, 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 blah. You know, like...
Just say whatever comes to mind. Like, two or three. That way it's not...
I want to throw a shout-out to my boy Clooney. Because whenever he does a Miami show, those shows are crazy. Hugo is, like, another one. He, like... I know he tries to come as much as he can during, like, Basel Music Week and everything in between. Like, I know he's going to have the residency in Ibiza this year, so he's probably not going to come to Miami as much, but he used to play a lot over here.
Like, you can tell who loves Miami, like, who has a home here, right? So, I mean, that's, like, kind of...
Oh, yeah, like, that would be guys like Ben Sterling and, like, all them cats.
Right? Yeah, you, like, you are, you know, where you put your money, where your mouth is. Like, I think people who live in Miami, like, really, like, they value it a bit more, wouldn't you say, to have property here?
1,000%. Oh, man. I just can't have, like, local acts in my head. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know any, like, huge guys that love coming here like that.
Not coming here. No, live here. Breathe it. Love it.
Oh. Ben Sterling. He does a lot of stuff over here. I see him a lot. He goes to, like, Boxer and stuff, I think.
So, nice. Well, yeah, Miami, man, there's a lot of pride for this city, and we're growing. You think... All right, so Miami's changed a ton in the past, like, 20, 30 years. Do you think, like, 10 years from now, what's going to change? Like, what's
going to be new? Dude, it's, like, the gentrification in Miami is so crazy to me. Like, I remember, like, when I, like, first came, like, Wynwood was still, like, yes, there were some clubs and bars and stuff, but there was still, like, a lot of open fields, you know? There were still, like, sketchy areas or whatever. But, like, now it's, like... really changed into, like, it's an actual, like, neighborhood almost. All they're missing is, like, a freaking Whole Foods over there, and it's, like, 100%, like, done. You know what I mean? I think, like, in Miami's gonna keep expanding, and, like, I had this conversation a while back. Like, real Miami that, like, I grew up wanting to experience is gonna, like, get... It's, like, gonna get slowly kicked out even more for, like, this new, like... I feel like Miami's catering now to like a different demographic than it used to. It used to be very authentic, very, you know, Caribbean based. And I feel like now it's like a lot of like out of towners who want to leave like New York, California, or places where they have property tax. You know, you always hear those stories, whatever. And it's changing into something a little more just like all around bougie is the word I would use.
All around bougie.
Yeah.
I would agree. I think Miami is known for its colors, its nightlife. I mean, bougie means, to me, I'm French, bougie means like celebration. It means like light the candle. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think we're celebratory here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we take it to like a different degree, but I think we're also humble. We have a great fitness scene here.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, so you obviously, you know, you make it to a lot of parties. Do you have any secrets of like keeping yourself like hangover cures or wellness? Like, what do you think, like, what keeps you sane and healthy through all that?
So, fun fact, I try my hardest to not like drink too much, honestly. Like, a lot of people will get to a party and they'll order, like, they joke, like, yeah, let's get 5 shots right now. I'm like, take it slow, buddy, man. Especially when you're like doing those space marathons, take it easy, okay? It's a fun fact. If you go to space and you want to be there for a long time, take like all the juices. They have like all these like nice like juices and wellness shots and stuff like that, like turmeric and all that. Like, take advantage of those. Stop buying all these expensive drinks and have something to help you actually fuel like your marathon. At least if you're like me, like I don't do drugs or anything like that. Like, people always like come up to me and they're like, you have to be like doing like so much drugs to like be able to function. No, dude, I function on like Red Bull and like, you know, maybe 2 or 3 shots of like tequila a night, and that's it for me, man. It's like, people, I'm very much there for the music more than anything. People like will go to space and obviously take their subsistence and whatnot, but I'm not about that, honestly. You will see me on the dance floor with the coconut in my hand, like the little like, by the way, very healthy for you, helps with electrolytes and a whole lot of goodness stuff. As for hangover cures, what is it? I try to have, like I know, like, there's stuff like ginger and turmeric and stuff like that helps you. So I try to, like, I live near the CVS right now, and they have, like, turmeric shots and stuff. So I'll, like, drink one before. So that way, like, I probably won't feel terrible the next day. I also try to hydrate as much as I can in between drinks. You gotta have, like, your water, man. Like, people will have, like, 4 or 5 drinks within, like, a 2-hour span. And that makes me anxious for them, because you're gonna die, like, very fast. You know what I mean? You gotta have your water breaks, man. You gotta just, like, take it easy, you know? Like, people think too much about the idea of partying more than actually like trying to enjoy a party, you know? And so I'm just very much about like the dance floor and what's going on and grooving, you know? I don't want to like wind up, you know, drunk in my bed at like 7 a.m. the next day, like hating my life. I'm very much over like my hangover era. I'm trying to like keep it easy now, you know?
When did you let go of hangovers? Like, how long ago was that?
Dude, like, I want to say like a couple months ago when I realized after I graduated college, I've slowly delved into like, I need to like slow down a little bit, you know? I can't just like run around like having like 7 drinks a night, you know?
It's a marathon, as you said yourself. But yeah, you're often in those situations where it is a marathon. You have long performances. So yeah, you found your balance, man. I'm proud of you, dude.
I'm trying so hard, man. Like, there are some nights where you're just like, I kind of want to go back to, like, you know, just letting loose.
So you have to say no. I mean, having balance does mean you have to say no sometimes.
Yeah,
like,
you do, man.
So have you practiced your saying no muscle?
Yes. It's like, I'd be like, I'm chill, bro. I'm chill, chill, chill. I really hate people who like will be like, oh man, come on. Have one. I'll pay for it. I'll be like, I'm good, man. Just,
you don't want her in those feelings either, but yeah, I think, I mean, as long as you're not like at your friend's mom's house and she's offering you like a home cooked meal,
yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
No,
dude, the only,
no, that's different. You know?
The only reason I will ever say no to like a home cooked meal is if like I happen to eat a lot before, and it's happened where like I will like happen to eat a, I'll eat a lot or I'll have dinner or something before I go somewhere, and then they offer me more food, and I'm like, oh my god, now I gotta like make, like I don't have like any space inside my tummy right now. I can't do this, but I have to like barely. I always ask for like a small portion. I kind of like force it down, or like the only other reason why I would say no to a home cooked meal is because it has like a lot of dairy in it. I'm lactose intolerant, and so like, you know, just can't do that right now.
Right. Well, hey, hopefully we're not saying no to too many home cooked meals. But yeah, man, appreciate you coming by. And yeah, so you have a very fun job, and I'm sure people tell you that all the time. So you're like, you know, I mean, I know it's a lot of hard work as well, right? And those moments where you're kind of in deliberation mode and you're wondering what edit to make, like those moments aren't always fun because you're racking your head around, like you want to get it right. And so, yeah, everyone should know that there's a lot of hustle in that line of work as well. Would you agree?
I honestly think I spend more time like overthinking my edits than actually going to these like events that I go to. You know what I mean? Like, I am very much like in my head about a lot of the writing that I do, and I try my best to like not do a bad job. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean?
Well, hey, sometimes you know your bad job is way better than anyone else's good job. So sometimes you just have to put out, right? And you know that. Artists, you have to put out sometimes. And that's why you have deadlines. And so it seems like you have a good team there. How can we follow you more? Are you on Instagram?
I'm on Instagram at oz.espino. You know, I don't know if I'll ever get the TikTok running or anything like that, but for now, just like follow me on oz.espino. You see all my content on Miami New Times. I try to do as much as like red carpet work as I can for like socials, just because I think like those are fun little things we can grab, you know. So definitely see me on there. And for now, that's like it for now. I don't know if I'm ever gonna expand into Twitter and things like that, but maybe one day.
Yeah, I mean, no need to force it or anything. But yeah,
you know, a lot of people tell me I need a vlog, and like they're like, you need a vlog, and like, you know, like show people like what you do and stuff, and I'm like, oh, maybe eventually I'll get to it. Like, I just am very lazy at like editing is so hard. Like, I don't know like how people like sit down and video edit for like such a long time.
Thank god for AI, it's getting a lot better at like helping us do that. We're coming out with some good reels on the pod. We're doing like some cool reels for all the episodes, and yeah, I think do you leverage AI at all? Last question, do you leverage AI at all? Or
whenever I need to like shoot an idea or something, or like
will AI ever take your job? No, it can't take your soul, your curiosity.
AI cannot do 12 hours of space right now. So they're never taking my job.
It's mandatory. I mean, you could bring an AI to space.
They will never enjoy it.
They will not enjoy it. They will not smile. AI will not smile.
AI will never be able to like go from like SLS at South Beach to like Factory Town and then comprehend what happened. Like,
have to pee the whole time or something. They won't understand what that's like.
Dude, the lines for like the bathroom at Factory Town sometimes are ridiculous, and it makes me nervous.
We gotta finish on a better note. All right, so Factory Town is a great venue, though. What's anything else good about Factory Town besides the
bathroom? Dude, I will die on this hill that Factory Town might be our best like big venue, just because it's like open air.
And it's better every year.
It's like more and more organized every year, and it's like just like a good time. I've never had like a bad experience at Factory Town.
Yeah, shout out Factory Town on Miami Music Week coming up. They have a lot of events every night there. Your boy Clooney's doing his own show.
Chase West, Ben Sterling, a lot of like good showcases this year. It's like, to me, I say this is like Christmas for me. Like, it's just
it is. Yeah, you're all, I can tell your excitement. You're all just like, you're just like bouncing off the walls. You probably don't need too much sugar this time of year. You probably, right? You just like high on life.
I've been trying to just like be healthy, man. Just like, I posted like the little like Goku and like the little chamber thing that he falls into, and I was like, put the little countdown for Miami Music Week, just because I've been trying to keep it chill recently. But Miami Music Week is gonna be a whole different monster. Like, I'm like just so ready. I'm like, I'm excited. All
right, I'm excited, man. I'm excited for your stories and your articles. So everyone check those out. Appreciate you coming by, dude. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing, man.